I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. There's a pitched battle going on for the western Libyan town of Misrata. Forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi have been shelling the town for days, trying to oust the rebels who are holed up there. Civilians are caught in the middle. NATO officials say protecting civilians in Misrata is now their top priority. British warplanes attacked several military targets there today, but rebel spokesman Jamal Salim told Al Jazeera that the situation in Misrata remains dire. Salim said the lives of civilians in the city are in grave danger, and they are now the main targets for Gaddafi's criminal brigades. His comments come a day after the rebels accused NATO of not doing enough to protect civilians. The coalition says it's hard to execute airstrikes in Misrata because pro-Gaddafi troops are using civilians as human shields. The deputy commander of operations in Libya, Rear Admiral Russ Harding, defended NATO's actions today.
The UN mandates and the UN Security Council resolutions and that which NATO has signed up to do is to protect the civilian population. Let me be clear, it didn't say to gain the trust of either side in doing that. The trust is for the international community to accept that NATO is acting in accordance with the mandate and doing what it said it would do.
Misrata is hundreds of miles from the rebel stronghold of Benghazi, but pro-Gaddafi troops are still trying to advance on that city, and that has many Benghazi residents nervous. The World's Ben Gilbert is there, and he sent this report on the mood in the city right now.
Benghazi residents are on an emotional roller coaster these days. There are often demonstrations full of revolutionary hope and zeal, like this one last week, but then the streets will empty because of fear. Muammar Gaddafi's forces and rebels are battling today less than 3 hours away from Benghazi. Some days it's more, some days less. Occasionally, the fighting gets too close, causing panic and prompting residents to leave. 20-year-old university student Abdel Fattah Al-Agri says the situation can be agonizing.
He was scared, but you know, you have to stay. Whoever has a family, sisters and all, they probably send them to Egypt, send them to another area, because you know what happened to all the families and the rape and all that stuff. But he said, it's okay, like, we have to stay here.
A Quranic reading blares from a loudspeaker in Benghazi's main square, which has been the epicenter of the uprising. Benghazi's young men die every day in the war against Gaddafi's troops. You can see photos of these martyrs hanging on the courthouse walls. And more men are going to fight, like Yunus Ayad Braziga. I've got three brothers. Two go to the front line, and the other stays at home, Braziga says. Then one comes back, then stays, and the other two go and fight. The once near constant gunfire, some of it celebratory and some unexplained, has quieted recently in Benghazi. That's thanks to requests from imams and the rebels' Transitional National Council. The gunfire kept people on edge, especially at night. But Abdel Fattah Al-Agri, the university student, says it isn't necessarily the shooting or even the fighting that scares people these days. There are always lots of rumors going around, says Agri. That's why people are constantly coming and going. Agri says late last week a rumor spread that Gaddafi agents were driving around shooting people at random. It was false, but the streets were empty for several nights. A small police force has returned to the streets, but residents still block roads with makeshift barriers of tree trunks or concrete blocks. Mohammed Al-Ajnaf says it just doesn't seem right to carry on with real life.
I've got a shop that sells clothes, and no one is buying. It's psychological. People are dying on the front line, and there's no time to buy clothes when there are people dying.
Al-Ajnaf says he's surviving on his savings. His employees, he says, are being helped by the Transitional Council. He says everyone is being taken care of in Benghazi, but it's clear that not all of the city's residents are doing so well. Here at the Gold Market in Benghazi's old city, most of the shops are locked up behind green steel doors. The owner of one shop says a lot of customers are selling their gold to get some cash to pay for food and other basic items. The display cases here are more or less bare, but that's an improvement over most places where the shelves are empty of any jewelry. All the gold is hidden in the house, says the owner of another gold shop, Yasser Kablan. There's no security. We can't keep anything here because of all the guns and everything on the street. Everybody is afraid that somebody might come and take their gold. Kablan gets by these days working as a money changer. He says he can tell the fortunes of the city by the exchange rate, which fluctuates wildly depending on the location of the front line. Most of the people buy dollars when they're fleeing the country. They flee when the front line gets close to Benghazi, Kablan says. That's when the value of the U.S. dollar goes up to the Libyan dinar. When the front line moves away, the value of the dollar goes down and the dinar goes up in value because fewer people are leaving. People's sense of security and the value of money in their wallets continued to seesaw during the past 24 hours. The rebels were again pushed back from the oil town of Brega, only about 150 miles from this rebel stronghold. For the world, I'm Ben Gilbert in Benghazi.